Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, Patriots. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you so much for tuning in all across the American Redoubt and outside the wire in occupied territory. And if you didn't feel it before, many of you now are feeling that you are in occupied territory in many places across the country. But that's why we are here, to bring you a voice of hope and encouragement, to bring you truth. I dug up a great audio file from Voice of America and the Voice of Radio Free Europe. I'm going to play for you at the on the half hour here coming up. It's very encouraging. Now, we've got several things that we are going to talk about, because this has been one wild ride this week. Has it not been? We're going to put some things into perspective, and we've got some challenges ahead of us. Well, let's get into the news and commentary. First of all, from AP, UPI, and the major American networks, the news is next right here at Radio Free Redoubt. And before I do that, before I go any further, thank you guys for tuning in on 96.5, our new station covering Spokane and Kootenai County, right across the border there in the Coeur d'Alene and Hayden area. All of you guys across the American Redoubt tuned in from the Tri-Cities to Wenatchee, Moses Lake, Yakima, welcome, and God bless all of you guys. The news is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the social and economic collapse in the United States and the rebuilding. Go to 299days.com to learn more. There was a failed coup attempt in Turkey yesterday, but I'm going to hold on to that until later on in the show, because I'm going to provide some of my own analysis. I have not been influenced or had heard any other analyses by any other talking heads, pundits, talk shows, whatever. I have my own thoughts. I'm going to share those with you, because we followed that very closely yesterday. But let's go back to France, Nice, France, where 84 people were killed, mowed down, men, women, and children. This is just heart-wrenching. It was, my heart sank when I watched this. And this is happening around the world on a daily basis. But now we see the news. Now we see many in the left side of journalism saying this person he was not a Muslim. He was a Tunisian-born petty criminal with a violent streak, but nobody saw this coming. People around him said he wasn't a true Muslim, because he didn't go to mosque. He ate pork. He had violent tendencies. He beat up his wife. Of course, that's right there is that does not disqualify you from being a Muslim. But what's interesting, though, is these guys they want so badly for this guy not to be a Muslim. Well, he has an Islamic name. He's from Tunisia, but that does not necessarily make you a Muslim. But the intelligence sources now are all pointing to ISIS connections. ISIS is claiming responsibility, and there are ties that he is now, well, what they said, here in this article, we are now facing individuals who are responding positively to the messages issued by the Islamic State without having had any special training and without having access to weapons that allow them to commit mass murder. ISIS claimed Bouel was a soldier of the group without referring to him by name. The source of the claim, circulated on social media by an ISIS-affiliated news outlet, was a security member with the group. Not Muslim. Do you have to be? ISIS will use anyone. This guy clearly was willing to carry out ISIS's attack under inspired and direction. Now, there's apparently five people arrested in connection to it. We have no further details on that. But sad. There are, speaking of the Islamification of Europe, now there are stickers, bumper stickers that are appearing all over Sweden stating that if you do not cover your head, you're asking to be raped. Now, some people are saying, well, this could be some anti-Muslim hate groups doing this. These people are in complete denial, because now these stickers are showing up like at bus stops and in places. There's several different messages. One of them, the most violating, is that women who do not wear headscarves are asking to be raped. So the liberals, always running interception for the Muslims, are saying, well, we don't know really who put this up. The police are scrambling to try to find out who put these there, because it could have been some hate groups. They're on a witch hunt against nationalists that are opposed to the Islamification of their country to see if they can prove that it was an anti-Muslim hater who put those up there. Regardless of the endless footage and social media postings that these Muslim thugs in Sweden have posted of themselves with their own words saying, we did this thing to this girl because she didn't have her head covering, which means she was asking for it. This is what they're saying. It's their own words. And also reports that we've heard from women, survivors of these attacks, saying what their attacker was saying to them while they were committing the act. It's despicable. It is absolutely, the world has gone insane. Let's go into national news. The Day of Rage that was supposed to have taken place yesterday, sponsored by Anonymous, had put the call out for a Day of Rage, basically fizzled. Multiple cities across the country where basically the only people that showed up were the news outlets to an empty park. Now, Anonymous, someone said, is Anonymous with Black Lives Matter? No. They denounced, they came out and called what happened in Dallas, shooting the police officers, a heinous crime that was unacceptable, not to call for violence, although they're calling for a day of rage, but that means hold your sign and yell, carry a bullhorn. No, but Anonymous, they said, look, we cannot let this horrible thing that happened to these police officers detract from the message, and that is holding government accountable, stopping police brutality, and especially targeting minorities. We want justice. So we're sorry about what happened to the police, but we cannot let the injustice continue. And I was watching very closely to see how the human rights coalitions, the human rights Gestapos, were going to handle this. Because if it was a white guy that said, I'm going to go out and kill all the black police officers because blacks shouldn't be police officers, and mows a bunch of them down, what the message would be from the human rights Gestapo about the hate, the hate crimes, the racism. Not one mention of the racism and the hate that I've seen from the human rights Gestapo. about a black guy saying, I'm going to kill whites and I'm going to target white police officers. And he goes out and does it and mows them down. All their messages are saying, we denounce this violence. That's it. Just violence. Not hate, not racism, not terroristic calls for the killing of whites, not the calls for insurgency by black nationalists, the Black Panthers, who have advocated the killing of white police officers and creating their own black power nation somewhere in the United States. Not to mention of the racist hate groups. But the human rights Gestapo, not one mention of it other than we denounce this violence. This was a horrible, tragic thing that happened. There is a great expose on the Black Lives Matter and the communist ties. And I've been saying this. I know many people have been saying this for a long time. There are deeply rooted communist ties to the Black Lives Matter movement. It is influenced. It's part of it's funded by Soros and his communist, socialist, globalist organizations that he funds. And now we see the Black Lives Matter using quotes, waving banners and quoting and wearing T-shirts with statements and the pictures of Asada Shakur. Now, if you don't know who Asada Shakur is, she's been living in exile in Cuba, a communist country, for over 30 years. She's considered a hero to the communist revolutionaries for her involvement in the 1960s and 70s with a violent criminal Black Panther Party offshoot called the Black Liberation Army. Shakur and the group robbed several banks as a revolutionary act and eventually killed a New Jersey state trooper with his own gun after a highway stop in 1973. Being indicted, she took off to Cuba, where the communists have been sheltering her ever since. And now the black revolutionaries, now the insurgents, are using her words as rallying cries with their fists in the air, using communist revolutionary terminology in their rhetoric. But we won't call it what it is. This is a divided nation unlike what we've ever seen. And the communists are behind the introduction of Islam. We'll talk about that in just a minute. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is your Patriot Moment with Bruce DeLay. This week, General Wesley Clark, a well-known progressive who ran for president as a Democrat, said that we should put people who are disloyal to America in internment camps just like World War II. This on the heels of an Islamic jihadist who killed 5 U.S. service members in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yet the reality is, which America is General Clark talking about? The progressive socialist state that has true Americans so frustrated these days? If so, then it could be that the left has tipped their hand as to their future intentions with God-fearing, freedom-loving, traditional Christian Americans like you and me. Wake up, America. You may soon be seen as the officially disloyal ones by this administration. This is Bruce DeLay, and this is your Patriot Moment.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show going into segment two, which is brought to you by Werks Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z. If ever a time existed for American patriots to be armed always, this is the season. Go to www.works.com for your next purchase. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR, lifetime guarantee on all those products, and they're made right here in the American Redoubt. Now, a couple of notes before I wrap up these stories here from the news. There's for the Idaho listeners, there is a resource that I want to point you to. It's called PACTRAC.org. So you can follow the money trail, see who is funding, who's contributing, making political donations to the campaign funds of your elected officials. It is all disclosed by law. It must be disclosed, and it's all laid out right there. Who is putting money into the back pockets of your representatives? Go to PACTRAC.org. I spell PACTRAC.org. PACTRAC.org. We'll get that linked up there at Radio for Redoubt for you to go on through. Also, Redoubt News. Go to Redoubt News to find out the latest news that could affect you as patriots, God-fearing, liberty-loving Americans concerned about the times that we're living in, want to stay abreast on news. Much of it you won't find anywhere else. Go to readoutnews.com and also look in their events calendar. You want to look to see where somebody's going to be speaking or an event that's coming up. Go to readoutnews.com/events, and they've got a tab there that you can just click on as well. Those folks do a great job bringing news and information to us. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is in their events calendar, they have posted the speaking dates and locations where Chris Ann Hall, constitutional attorney, will be speaking this weekend in North Idaho. So check that out. Not this weekend, as in the weekend that we're in right now. I mean, next weekend, the 17th, 18th, 19th, several dates there. So go check that out. All right. Now, Illinois is going to create an official state government Muslim council. The Islamification of America continues to spread. A Muslim council sanctioned by the government. For what? To ensure that we adhere to Sharia restrictions? I don't know. This is a violation of the Establishment Clause. Freedom-loving Illinois residents should file a class action suit as soon as this passes. This is over at PamelaGeller.com. The Illinois government is going to create a Muslim council. This is what's going to be used to put political pressure and manipulate the people in that state. This has to be fought tooth and nail. Once it gets its foot in the door, you can't undo it. Let's go to American Redoubt News real quick. Transgender was arrested for voyeurism at an Idaho Target. Target, you know, that corporation that says we embrace sexual deviance to shop at our store? Well, a transgender suspect accused of videotaping an 18-year-old in a Target fitting room admitted to detectives that he had made videos in the past of women undressing. Busted. Shauna Smith. He's trying to go by. His real name is Sean Smith. This, I would say sue the snot out of Target for creating an environment for sexual predators to flourish, to create a situation where you're placing young women in harm's way. Now, there's something I want to highlight here in this segment. As you guys know, well, many of you guys know, Mrs. Schmidt and I support a couple of ministries that are very dear to our hearts. One of them is called rescuechristians.org. And the other one is called, well, it's through the Voice of the Martyrs. Well, it's the Voice of the Martyrs, who minister to persecuted Christians around the world. Now, what many of you already know, I created a, it's a, we sell a thumb drive through the Readout Gear store, where I have a series of going under, it's titled The Underground Project, Going Underground and Informants, Agents, Agents Provocateur, lots of material there. And step by step, the mechanics of going underground, if you were required to, if the situation warranted it. And it was based on a hypothetical question that someone asked. This is based on my background, what I used to do when I worked with the government, is what would happen if the Chinese invaded, declared churches, unsanctioned churches, illegal, and your home group pastor, your home group leader, learned that he had an arrest warrant and the government was coming for him, and he chose to go underground. How would you go about doing that step by step? I mean, how would you do that? So I addressed that, having worked with this type of background in the past. It's very popular. It's $15 for the thumb drive. Excuse me. What I chose to do after praying about it and discussing it with Mrs. Schmidt is take all of the proceeds from the sales of the Underground Project thumb drive and donate, split it right down the middle, and donate this to these two ministries that we feel very worthy of support. There are Christians that are right now, this is not theoretical, could happen someday, how would we do it? There are people that are doing it right now. There are people that are persecuted. They are working in underground churches. They have underground clandestine communications networks. Much of the stuff that I talked about in this Going Underground series, people are actually doing. They're living it out. One of the things that was very encouraging for me is to hear from several in the listening audience that work with missionaries and pastor groups. There are pastors in the United States that are going through the Underground Project material that I have on this thumb drive that we sell, and they are using it as course material to study and to prepare for the eventuality of that possibility in the United States. But what's more, there are groups, individuals, and individuals that are working with missionaries that are working overseas with the underground church. And they're using this material to help Christians in the underground right now around the world. So this was a huge blessing for me, very encouraging. But I think that in the United States, there's some skill sets that we need to start very seriously considering developing. RescueChristians.org covert operations is one of the branches of, or one of the ministries that we support. They are rescuing people that will go in and they will purchase women that are Christians who have been, because they're Christians, forced into prostitution. They'll purchase them and smuggle them out of Pakistan and other countries where they're oppressed, who are forced to pay off debt for blasphemy because they're Christians. So they get fined and imprisoned, and they have to work in a kiln or some brick manufacturing place to pay off their debt for blasphemy. These guys are going in there and paying off their debt, buying them, and getting them out of there. They're essentially slaves. And they're smuggling, or they're just helping them go underground and smuggle them out. Right now, there's a Pakistani, there's a manhunt right now for a Christian who went underground when he discovered the police are looking for him for blasphemy. He's being falsely accused of blaspheming the prophet Muhammad, and the entire nationwide police are looking for this Christian. Remember him in your prayers. His name is Nadim Masih. Nadim Masih, put him on your prayer list. This is a Christian right now who just went underground this week. And his the two women in the house were arrested for their protection. They're Christians. The other one that we support is Covert Operations, Voice of Martyrs, Covert Operations, where they smuggle Bibles, audio Bibles, and shortwave radios into these areas where Christianity is banned. It's very risky. And that's what we're supporting. And we're taking all of the proceeds from the Radio Free Readout underground project sales, and we're donating it to those two ministries through the month of July. So please help us support that. Very important. Now, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. And there's something that I started to talk about last week on the podcast. And I was going to talk about it today. But I'm going to hold off. And it's about the militias. There's a call for, in the light of this Black Panther movement and this insurgency, and the call for carrying out violence in American cities all across America, and also in the light of the terrorist attacks that are being promised that are coming to America, it behooves us to think about security. Now, before you throw your wall up and say, oh, malicious, oh, okay, all right, now you lost me there. That's pretty way out there. Okay, first of all, stop drinking the Kool-Aid of the left. The last thing they want is for American Christian patriots to have the means of defending themselves. Secondly, the militia is part of the Constitution that you swear to love and uphold. It is part of our heritage. And thirdly, it's part of many of our states' constitutions. I have the Idaho State Constitution right here. I have the Washington State Constitution, but I don't have it. The clause found, discovered. It's your constitutional duty to be in the militia. Matter of fact, I made a mistake a while back. I said, you can't follow the Constitution. That's only the government can. But that's not entirely true. The militia clause in the state of Idaho mandates that every man up to the age of 45 is a part of the militia and trains. If you're not doing that, you're not following the Constitution. How's that? Anyway, when we come back, lots more. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
As you have seen, reporting to the communists means distortion. But that is what people in the captive countries hear and see. And it's all they would hear and see if the free world could not pierce the Iron Curtain with words of truth. But the free world does pierce the Iron Curtain. From headquarters in Munich, a powerful radio network, Radio Free Europe, operates 29 broadcasting and relay stations in West Germany and Portugal. Broadcasts are beamed behind the Iron Curtain as many as 20 hours a day. One transmitter is 14 times as powerful as the largest station in America. It has to be powerful. Because the communists spend more money trying to jam reception than Radio Free Europe spends in broadcasting. To gather information for its broadcasts and to counter communist distortions, Radio Free Europe monitors 35 communist stations daily. This requires highly specialized equipment and experienced personnel. Rely on Radio Free Europe for the truth.
This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt. Tune in to Radio Free Redoubt for the truth and encouragement. Radio Free Redoubt is broadcasting on multiple AM and FM stations across the American Redoubt and across the wire to those in occupied territory, and including live streaming. So be encouraged, patriots. You are not the only one that sees what's happening in your country. God bless you guys for taking the time to pay attention to those current events, to prayerfully consider what your role is in this new season that's coming up in the world and in our country, and maybe even in your own community. This is segment three, brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Go to riverfrontsuites.com if you want a beautiful, quiet weekend getaway on the St. Joe River down by St. Mary's, Idaho. Amazing little place, patriot-owned business. And also, for those of you who are in the American Redoubt looking for property, looking for jobs, scouting out the area, if you want a place to stay and support a patriot-owned business, go to riverfrontsuites.com. Now, my email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I always appreciate your guys' prayers and support and encouragement, ideas and suggestions. Really great. Radiofreeredoubt.com is our website, and that's also Amron.com is the other one, Amron.com. That's the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, a nationwide network of about 4,000 members now across the country and Canada and Puerto Rico, to keep patriots connected in times of disaster, and especially in a grid-down communications, grid-down situation. Now, I want to talk about this coup attempt yesterday in Turkey. There are some, I guess, some contrasting elements here that I think that we would be wise to pay attention to, and it's just good for our analysis. We know right now that what's happening is supernatural. We're talking about the rise and fall of nations, and God has his hand in that. There are supernatural forces. As Christians, we believe this. And in the rise and fall of nations, this is what's happening in the spiritual realm. I was saying in a discussion group this week, yesterday, how I would love to have a pair of goggles that you could see the spiritual world, what's going on that element, on that level. It would be mind-blowing to be able to like hover over Turkey and watch what's happening, the influencing, the influential powers that are amazing. So some questions came up in a discussion group with some patriots and some those in the leadership in the patriot community. And so people were asking, you know, who are the good guys in this? Who are the bad guys? Do we root for the military, or do we hope that the military loses? Was Russia behind this? What will this mean if they succeed or if they fail? What's going to happen? And what does this really mean to us? So first of all, let me just let you know what happened. A segment of the military in Turkey attempted to oust the president, Erdogan, yesterday, Friday, July 15th. Now, through various reports, we were able to glean several motives. Some of it their own words, and others supporters and those in the intelligence community, but mostly from the army itself, the military. Army and Air Force elements were used for this coup attempt. So to summarize, they attempted the coup because the president's autocratic rule, because inadequate government response to a string of recent terrorist attacks across the country, and because of a departure by this administration from the Constitution. Sound familiar? Let me go through that again. This is why the government, the military, attempted a coup to topple the president of Turkey yesterday. The president's autocratic rule, inadequate government response to a string of recent terrorist attacks across the country, and a departure from the Constitution. They were known as the group that was going to and declared to reinstate the rule of law, namely the Constitution. And several news outlets even stated the military sees itself as the guardian of the secular constitution. Isn't that a novel idea? The military sees itself as the guardian of the secular constitution. The military, every member of the military and every person who takes an oath of office for public office takes an oath to either uphold the Constitution or uphold and defend the Constitution. So isn't it fitting that the military sees itself as the guardian of the Constitution? But they keep using this word secular. What does that mean? They keep saying secular Constitution. Well, do they have like two different constitutions? No. What they mean is secular, meaning non-Islamic, Western. The Turkish constitution is very Western. There's many similarities between the Turkey's constitution and the U.S. constitution and constitutions of free nations across the world. It's not a secular constitution. It's simply the constitution. But don't think this was lost on the globalists, the America haters, the left, the communists. They're going to key in on this. I have a prediction. I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying, based on logic, this and knowing the enemy and their tactics, I predict that the U.S. Constitution haters are going to develop an aggressive campaign to further invalidate the U.S. Constitution. They're going to pick up on this. They're already saying the United States Constitution is antiquated. It doesn't fit our modern culture. It's primitive or archaic. I predict a new campaign where with adjectives. They will not say the United States Constitution without adjectives. They will call it, instead of the secular constitution, they're going to call it the theistic constitution, America's fundamentalist constitution, the America's centuries-old constitution, or the Clinger constitution. There we go. It's the Clinger constitution. You know the constitution that people that want to cling to their guns and their Bibles advocate? That constitution, as if to paint in the mind's eye of the public, there are two constitutions. There's the constitution, and then there's the fundamentalist constitution or the Clinger constitution. No, it is simply the constitution. It was written by brilliant men who can't be matched today. I swear, we get dumber and dumber every generation. We think we're getting so much smarter, but we're going the other way. So they're just going to keep ignoring it until it's no longer relevant, just like they already are, and then use the excuse to make a new one since we've departed from it so far. Anyway, I'm digressing. But I do want to draw a parallel here. What happened in Turkey and what happened in the United States? Why did they accept it? Now, I'm not aware of a military coup ever being attempted in the United States. Turkey, over the last 40 years, has had multiple. This is what, fourth, fifth? CNN is reporting now that 1,563 military officers, that's a lot, are now detained. I'm sure more by now, because this is ongoing. President Erdogan and members of the military have been at odds for some time over the issues that I just mentioned. So someone said, do you think Russia was behind this? I don't think they had to be. I think, first of all, it's highly doubtful that Russia was backing this coup. Now, maybe they privately influenced it or encouraged it, but they're not going to get their hands dirty getting caught backing a coup, especially of a NATO country. Because coups normally fail. This is a coup d'etat. It's the topple the leadership. So something like that would be too risky for the Russians to get caught doing. And somebody else noted, this seemed to be a poorly planned and executed attempt at a coup. It seemed half-hearted. Now, if you don't know who Erdogan is, he's a strong Islamist. He's been pushing the policies toward Islamic rule. He's one of the ones that's used the term secular constitution. Secular constitution. He's been pushing strongly for the country toward Islamism. This pesky secular constitution is just getting in the way of things. So people like that like to make lots of exceptions. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, the Syrian-Turkish relations have been very shaky, especially since the Russians went in to support Syria. Turkey is a NATO country, which we are bound to back and support. This created an extremely complicated potential scenario, government around the world, especially the NATO governments, scrambling into secret meetings to discuss the potential outcome and what are we going to do if the military pulls this off. This is very significant. Turkey is the gateway into Europe. It is the way by which many refugees are coming to Europe. We have an Islamist head of a NATO country who no doubt is on board with this al-Hijra, the conquering of the nations and world by mass immigration, slow, quiet immigration. The country of Turkey also is on the northern edge of Iraq with a strong ISIS presence along the border. And a lot of intelligence sources have been pointing to ISIS support being flowing across the border back and forth, including the oil that ISIS has taken over and is piping into Turkey and making a lot of money. ISIS funding their operations. Now, I'm only just conveying to you what intelligence sources have shown. I don't know for sure, but when you look at the laws of probability, I think it's pretty safe to say when you have a strong Islamic leader in a country bordering ISIS, where it is a fact that ISIS material and personnel are flowing back and forth across that border. Very dangerous situation. But see, what does that mean now? Things are going to become that much more precarious. The president has been held kind of in check at this point because he's been at odds with the military, who's had legitimate grievances about him departing from the Constitution, pushing stronger toward Islamism and away from the Constitution. But as long as the military was there, he always had to keep that in the back of his mind. He could only push so far without pushing too far. But now this is exactly what he's been wringing his hands over. The military now will be purged of all of the constitutionalists or patriots, if you will. This is something that President Erdogan has been wanting to do for a long time. Now he has the justification to go through on a witch hunt looking for constitutionalists. Do you know of anybody among your ranks who has expressed any negative comments about the government not following the Constitution? Point to them, because they're, if not part of this coup, they're at least sympathetic to it, and we can't have that. They're going to completely Islamize the Turkish military now, and it's going to open the way for completely trashing the Constitution in Turkey. Now, they're going to have new extremism training. I mean, in their military, like in the United States, their online training How to spot a constitutionalist. I mean, extremist. This is something else that was really interesting that happened as well. When the president went into exile, I saw one report saying that he tried to go to Germany and they denied him. They would not let him land, so he turned back around. I've got to try to track that down again. I don't know if that's true or not. That would be an interesting development. The leader of a NATO country fleeing a coup attempt, being denied the right to land at another country. I think there's some stuff going on behind the scenes there. But he put out a call over social media for people to take to the streets and stand up against the military. There was kind of a flat response at first, but then things changed. The imams, the clergy, put out a call. They started calling all the people. And that is when the people flooded into the streets and attacked the military or blocked them. Excuse me. Now, Turkey has been sharply divided among their people between those that support the Constitution and those that want to push for more Islamic rule. Now, what we saw was the imams calling the Muslims out who responded to the call and either obstructed or attacked the military personnel, bringing the coup crumbling down. I think that was something that the planners of the coup may have grossly miscalculated, the influence of the imams, the clergy, over the people. It's something to take a lesson from. Now, the Muslims came out like ants against the pro-constitution or the pro-rule of law military. Those that are for the Constitution and are not in support of Islamizing Turkey stayed inside. So things just shifted over there. I believe that we've probably have just seen the beginning of a new shifting in the Middle East. So, I mean, how do you think that's going to affect the theological, political, and social landscape of Turkey and the Middle East? Knowing that they have influence in NATO, there was a lot that took place yesterday. Now, we wouldn't see this in the United States. Can you imagine the clergy calling out the patriots to stand up against a coup attempt? What if somebody tried to overthrow our government? Do we even have the clergy? This reminded me of early America, where when the Redcoats went on the attack, the army went on the march. The clergy mostly put out the call to their congregations for all patriots to respond. And that's when they came out in force by the thousands with their rifles ready to repel the enemy. We've got a little different dynamic here in this case. We have a government, at least at the executive level, who is trying to displace or at least invalidate the Constitution and apply Islamic law and Islamic rule. So where does that – let's draw some parallels here in the United States. Do we have the clergy that would call the patriots out against a common threat? No, that needs to change. And here's a strong message too. I have not heard Obama speak to this. It's interesting also. I think he was the first call. I think when Erdogan got elected, wasn't Obama the first one to call him to congratulate him? or did Erdogan? I gotta look that up so I don't get my facts mixed up. They're pretty chummy. Well, they had a little bit of. It's more like gossip tabloid mags. Oh, Erdogan and Obama are at odds. They're not talking to each other. It's kind of silly. Right alongside of, whatever, Hollywood gossip type stuff. But what happens when you have a country, a government, that decides to dismiss the Constitution, renders it irrelevant, goes on their own tangent? What happens when you have a executive branch that is autocratic, who is inadequately responding to a string of terrorist attacks and departing from the Constitution? Who is the guardian? I mean, most people would agree that the military should be the guardian of the Constitution. Do I think that should be tried in the United States, a coup? Oh boy, no. That would be, well, first of all, they've done a really good job in the United States of purging our military, the ranks of conservative, politically conservative officers. Now, in the military, and I'm going to cover this, I'm going to do a posting, how they've accelerated the indoctrination training in the United States military to weed out constitutionalists, patriots, extremists. I talked about this at Marble. But there is a process that must take place. And I talked about this last week. So in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to talk about articulating our grievances. Before you jump to a coup, I don't know if that would even be something that could even be attempted in the United States. I don't believe that we've got the command in the, among the command in the military that has the sand to try to force the government to comply with the Constitution. The coup attempt yesterday in Turkey was intentionally designed to leave the government in place, except for the executive branch. They were to oust the president, who was incidentally outside the country. They hadn't even seen him in 5 days. So they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't take him into custody. But the apparent attempt was to leave the legislature, the equivalent, in place. So the government could continue to function, but they would displace the executive branch, which was basically violating the Constitution, acting autocratically and not responding to the terrorist attacks in a proper way. Before you do that, before you can be justified, I believe, in resisting on that kind of a level, you must first go through a process. And I believe that the founding fathers modeled that for us. It is true that our country is changing in such a way that we as traditional American value-loving patriots, Christians, who adhere to our heritage and our values, we are going to have a choice to make in the future. And there's only going to be a few options. One of those options is to completely submit and go along with it, because it's the new rules. The other option would be to fight or just refuse to comply. Let's put it that way. There would be the passive resistance. And at some point, the founding fathers found themselves at a point where they said, we can no longer be ruled by this tyranny any longer. We declare now that we are free and independent. And then you're going to have to fight for it. So there's only a few options. You comply, you submit, and then you basically disregard all of your values and what you stand for and just adapt theirs. You just refuse to comply until they sue you into oblivion and take your home and everything you own, put you in the streets, or they arrest you for not being on board with this new socialist agenda in America that violates your moral conscience, that makes you go against your beliefs. Or you're going to have to fight for it. Before you get to that point, you have to articulate your grievances. And that's what we're doing right now as we're compiling our list of grievances. Because first you present your grievances to the king. And that's what the founding fathers did with the Olive Branch Petition. These are our grievances. Please, please work with us. Let's avoid any kind of hostilities. Let's work together. The king responded with a death sentence to all of those who were involved. At that point, they had no choice, and that's when they drafted the Declaration of Independence, where they articulated 27 grievances, intolerable acts, things they couldn't take any longer. I think it's time for us to start doing that. And we've begun doing that, and I've got a lot of listeners from last Sunday night's podcast to contribute to that. I want you to contribute your list of grievances. And I'm going to go into more in depth about this this coming week. But send those to me, John Jacob, at radiofreeredoubt.com. And you guys have a blessed week. Have a blessed weekend. And join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. radiofreeredoubt.com for our weekly podcast. God bless all of you. This is John Jacob Schmidt out.